This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 26th of January, with me, Paul Andrews. Before the break, we heard from Amy Philippaios, and we heard from Amy about her business, Simply Hair, talking about hair extensions. I had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson, and she says, an interesting interview with Amy. It certainly informed me. Good to hear about the recycling aspect too, with unwanted used hair being turned into hair mats. I was fascinated by the whole thing, Tracy. I really was. I was completely oblivious to the fact that people have hair extensions. I really wasn't aware that they did things like that, and I still can't kind of figure out what they look like. I'm going around looking at people now just to see if they've got hair extensions or if I can tell. And you're right about recycling. Amy was saying that they use the hair to mop up oil spills, which is interesting. I would have thought they could have turned them into chest wigs or something, but what do I know? I don't know. It's fascinating, and I kind of love hearing about businesses that I don't know anything about. I just find it fascinating to hear about these kind of things. So interesting, and the fact that Amy felt that the wig business. It could be a big thing in the coming years as well. I guess, I mean, things go in cycles as well, don't they? Because back in the 17th century, 18th century, everyone wore wigs. Everyone. Mostly for health reasons. You know, you had to have your head shaved off because of the ticks and the bugs and the lice and the nits. But powdered wigs were a thing for everybody. So what goes around comes around. I guess we could all be heading back that way and all wearing wigs. I don't think I fancy one. I'm quite happy with that hair. Anyway, we've got a packed lineup of guests and interesting stuff to talk about in the second half of the show. Shortly, we're going to be hearing from Pam Locke and Sally Beddo of Locke Associates Group. And then we've got our usual feature, the roundup of news and events from the Federation of Small Business. So I'll tell you what, why don't we hear from Pam and Sally?
It's an absolute pleasure.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show Pam and Sally from Locke Associates Group. Good afternoon, ladies. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to see you. Why don't we kick off by you just refreshing our listeners' memories over the work that you do at Locke Associates.
Hi, Paul. Nice to be here. I'm Sally. I'm an HR consultant with Locke Associates Group. Within the group, we've got four different businesses, and we're a one-stop shop for all your employment needs, really. So I work for the HR consultancy, as well as support with the Locke Wellbeing side of the business too. And Pam works as the managing director of the whole business, but is also a solicitor within Locke Employment Law.
Cool. You guys are obviously going to be very busy right at the moment, and I guess through 2020 and 2021, because your business is directly in line with everything that's happening to us right at the moment. On the one hand, you know, we've got all the employment legalities of furloughs and redundancies and, you know, how we manage our staff during a pandemic, which is a fairly unusual situation, to say the least. And then on the other hand, one of the things we've noticed as this whole story has unfolded is the detrimental effect it's had on mental health and well-being, especially in the workplace and for people locked at home, people on furlough, and indeed people working remotely. So kind of you got both sides of this coming at you at once. So I'd just like to hear your views on how it's unfolded for you as a business to start with.
Well, Paul, it's an interesting situation, actually, because it's almost akin to what's happened in the pandemic. We get waves of different things happening.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had a wave of redundancies after there was an initial period of furlough. And that sort of took place over the sort of back end of the summer into the autumn and early winter. Mm. And then there was a sort of hiatus on the redundancies because the furlough scheme was extended. And then weirdly, just before Christmas, we noticed an uptake in misbehaviour, shall we say, in disciplinaries, which we haven't really been seeing because people have been at home. But what's been happening is that the longer that people are at home, we're beginning to notice there's sort of changes in people's behaviour. And they seem to forget that there are certain things, perhaps ways in which you should be behaving, that you would normally do in an office, but they're sort of behaving differently at home and it's not acceptable. Some of those involve sexually inappropriate comments being made on Zoom calls, and other inappropriate behaviour. So we're starting to see things that are impacting on people because, or the way that people are behaving being impacted because they're at home, potentially. So that's something that we've noticed. And Sally, you sort of had commented on that from an HR perspective as well, hadn't you?
Yeah, I think it's just that there's a lack of social cues that you would pick up in the office where you understand what the business norm of behaviours are in that office and how the office works. And people, obviously, in their own home act differently. We all act differently at home. I'm quite serious at work. I'm not really, but at home I'm not. And I think that people have got comfortable being at home and they've started to use those behaviours whilst working from home. And we just said they've got naughtier. People have just got a bit naughty with what they're doing.
It's interesting, isn't it? And I think you're absolutely right. I've never, in my businesses, I've never had a dress code or anything like that. I've never said, you know, you've got to come to work in a suit and a tie or anything like that ever in 30 years in business. But it is funny, isn't it? When people do come to work, they kind of dress in an appropriate way. These days, everybody hangs around in their pajamas and their vest. And, you know, because we're at home and we've, you're absolutely right, Sally, we think about it in a completely different way. And we don't think in a, you know, in a business orientated way because, you know, the dog's on the floor yapping away or, you know,
You've got the kids coming into the room and stuff like that as well. You know, you're beginning to see that in meetings now where people are, and I get it, you know, it's a really tough time and we've got staff that are trying to juggle and it's, and sometimes it's just not possible.
I mean, my kids could come in at any minute.
Absolutely. Mine can't because they're tied up.
The other thing is the use of technology. So, you know, you use your technology different at home because it's your personal technology because it's in your house. Well, now at the moment, people have got work computers in their house and they're using them sometimes as their own personal technology. You know, maybe the kids have got the home computer to do their schoolwork. So we've seen people do more things on computers, work computers, that perhaps, well, we certainly wouldn't expect them to do in the office, and that's been causing a few problems too.
Absolutely, and there are lots of security implications as well as well as potentially dodgy implications. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, which fascinated me, was going back to the furlough schemes, because I heard of unredundancies. People have been made redundant, and then the government extended the furlough scheme, so they unredundanced them. And brought them back. Have you had experience of that?
Yeah, we have, absolutely. And different sectors. And, you know, I think a lot of clients, you know, from their point of view, you know, a lot of employers see redundancy as a last resort. It's not something anybody wants to do. But, you know, so if there's a way to avoid it, great. And the government has permitted that to some extent, obviously, with the rules they've brought into play. But the other thing that employers have got to be careful about is furlough fraud. And the HMRC are beginning to really they're starting investigations now and asking you questions about decisions that you've made to furlough people. Was it legitimate or not? So you have to look and think about whether there actually is a genuine job that you are trying to protect post-COVID. Once we get out of this situation, will it still be a job? And therefore, you can then, you know, furlough that person. Now, there's other reasons to furlough people. For example, if somebody's got childcare responsibilities and can't manage the job, then you're legitimately furloughing them, and likewise with clinically vulnerable people. So there are certain reasons that you can choose to furlough somebody, but if it's to do with a job and whether there is a job or not, you just need to be very careful about it, because I don't think HMRC are going to back off, because the degree of fraud that they think has been out there is at a level that enables them, you know, to spend time and money getting inspectors to investigate it further.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because when they launched this, there was really very little rules around it, was there? Everybody just piled in and said, right, give me the money. We'll close the office. Fine, thank you.
And I think the view was from some people, because we'd heard somebody say that accountant had advised them not to worry about it, just furlough people, even if they had to do a bit of work, because HMRC won't investigate. And we were advising against doing that. If you furlough them, they should be furloughed, no work. Yeah. And of course, now HMRC are coming back and saying, we want to go through your email records, or we want you to confirm that there's no email evidence of, you know, you communicating with somebody while they've been furloughed. And of course, there are a lot of employees who are reporting what they believe are furlough fraud instances to HMRC. So HMRC have got all these names from tip-offs, as well as then going through records to see, well, actually, who made a request? Why did they do it? So that is happening. We know it's happening because we know letters are going out to employers.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, that you say, you know, this is where all these regulations fall down because the government don't always think them through from a rational point of view. But, of course, you know, so in my business, for instance, I've had to make redundancies. I've got staff that are furloughed, and I've got a skeleton staff managing the business that are still at work.
Mm-hmm.
I send email. I'm furloughed. I send emails to my furloughed employees, making sure they're okay. So, you know, what you were saying about looking at, have we communicated? Yeah, of course we have, because I want to make sure they're okay, you know, how they're doing, you know.
And I think, you know, an element of that is absolutely fine. If you're demonstrating it is actually work. The other side of it is the guilt that the employee may feel being furloughed, and they may feel, oh, well, I need to do this work, or I just need to chase up with this client. And it's about setting the standards out as the employer that, you know, actually you can't do that in these situations, because that's when we get into trouble. And we've seen it on both sides, really.
It's about generating income. And providing services that could generate income, really, is what they're talking about. So that, you know, you're allowed to do things like training, you know. So for example, if you've got a new system that you put in, you know, it'd probably be legitimate to allow them to do training on the system, as long as it's not going to generate income while you're furloughed. But actually, you know, I'd be careful about what you're doing. I'd try and avoid having them doing any work at all. And certainly, you know, I think checking in with somebody to see if they're okay, and still alive. I mean, I once had a client who had somebody who'd been off for 10 years and they wanted to check. They were going to change the life assurance, and they suddenly remembered, hang on a minute, they're on the life assurance policy. And I said, do you know the person's still alive? And so I had to go back and find out. So we worked with them, and actually we established the person was still alive and then terminated their employment. That sounds a bit harsh, but the person was never going to come back to work, and the life assurance group scheme that they had in place, they couldn't then change because of the issues they were going to encounter, they said. So, so it's always worth keeping in mind, you know, you should be doing that. You should be looking after your staff and making sure that they're okay.
I'm fascinated by what you're saying, because it's another one of those things where we've suddenly become aware of how technically ingrained we are with things. So, again, using my own businesses as an example, one of the reasons that I've kept a skeleton staff in the office, even though there's nothing to do, is our systems are automated. So all of our staff that were furloughed were still getting emails from customers, or, you know, going, well, I'm not paying or whatever, or can you take my job off because we're not recruiting anymore. But, of course, they didn't know what to do with that. Well, I can't answer it. And my customer's going, what's the matter with you lot? You're not talking to us. So I had to put someone in there that interrupted all of that technology we'd spent a fortune building and shovel it all into one email account where he sits there answering them all. So, you know, we've got all these kind of issues to deal with as well.
There is an irony there, as you say, you know, in terms of we're sort of seeing the sort of advancement of technology as a result of, you know, this. You know, what we're in, the pandemic has sort of suddenly accelerated, but ironically you're having to put in place almost a manual system to cope because that's the best way to deal with it. And I think a lot of people, they just had to come up with you know, different ways to get through this, really, as best they can with what they've got, the, you know, and the resources.
Yeah,
I mean, one of the other things I suppose I've noticed is you've got a difference in generations in how they're coping as well. So you're getting this frustration with younger people sometimes seeing older people struggling on Zoom calls, And that's I'm being very cautious. Yeah. not naming names or anything, but I think it's something else that we just got to be aware of when we're managing people is that different people have different abilities. It's not necessarily dictated by age. Yes, people of a certain age may not have had as much exposure to technology from such a young age. And obviously, Sally, you're obviously one of those youngsters.
Very young, Pam, I am, yeah. And it's like, if your computer goes wrong and you're in the office, you know, if it needs a reboot or something, someone can tell you how to do that.
Sure.
We've had to check, we change our passwords every month, as I'm sure a lot of you do. And I had to change mine today, to be honest. I should have done it last week. But I had to change them today and I had to phone somebody up to ask them how to get to the screen to change it.
Yeah.
That's just an example of, you know, if I was in the office, they'd be next to me to be able to do it. But at home, you've got to learn new skills of how to cope with the technology.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've spent 50 years working in technology. And I hate it. I hate technology now with a vengeance. It dominates your life. And one of the things that really, really annoyed me, and this is what I find with tech companies and how relentlessly geeky they are. Through this pandemic, they keep issuing updates for everything. Well, the last thing you want to do is to change all your technology when you're trying to come to terms with working in a completely different way. And then every time you switch the blooming computer on, it goes updating, and all of a sudden everything that you're used to is moved, changed, and gone in a different direction. And I don't know about you, but I've had so many tech problems, not least of which a power cut just before we started this interview. I've had so many tech problems over the last few months that it's just driving me bonkers. And I've worked in technology for 50 years. And I'm just, if I had any hair, I'd pull it out. I just really would.
Well, I mean, I just had another issue this morning because overnight I put two and two together and realised that when I was forwarding on emails, they were becoming detached. And I thought, well, that's not right. I mean, we're in the offices, we are actually deemed to be critical workers because lawyers, solicitors that are working in court claims and tribunal cases are critical workers. So that's why we're in the office. We're a very small team and Sally and other people are at home. But I thought I was in the office, it shouldn't have happened. But then it transpires that our IT guy said that, well, actually, there was an update by Microsoft in January that has resulted in this not always being the case that will attach. Oh, so now I've got to wait for the February update. But in the meantime, we have got a fix, which might mean extra work because we've got to go back and manually, well, save it on the system, then reattach it. But at least we know there could be an issue rather than thinking you're going mad.
Do you want to laugh? Two of my companies have just gone through their financial year end. And my accountant sent me a form and it sent me all the paperwork and stuff and said, right, can you sign this and send it back to me? At which point my computer crashed. So I did it on my phone. So what I did is I just photographed the form, printed it, printed it off, signed it, photographed the form and attached it and sent it back. She rang me up and she said, why have you sent me a picture of your great granddad? And when I looked, it had attached the wrong picture.
You have to be so careful nowadays. I mean, the only thing I've realised is that there's a huge amount of syncing up between phones, laptops.
Yeah.
So you might be working on your phone. It might be your work phone, but it's actually, or you're working on your personal phone, you might use it for work. But actually, a lot of your pictures and your photographs are uploaded onto your work, laptop or something else. So you've got to, obviously, I don't want you to go through what else you've got on your photos, apart from those ones. But, you know, you just need to be very careful about the synchronisation and integration that exists nowadays.
Absolutely. It comes back to what Sally was saying about using work computers at home as well.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what infrastructure you're in, if you plug an iPhone into a Mac, it will update without asking you. It will transfer the photographs. Yeah. So if you just wanted to charge your phone from a work computer, before you know it, it's uploaded all your photographs to it. And they don't ask you, it just does it.
And then you might be exposed to us as employment lawyers asking you questions about
exactly. Why. Yeah, exactly. Paul, what exactly is this? You got it upside down. So there's been lots happening. What I want to kind of move on to now are some of the other more serious ramifications that we're starting to look at of people being furloughed, or people working remotely, people working from home, people on their own, and that is mental health and well-being of people. I'd like to get both your views on how you see that, and in what ways that you can help us as employers and employees to deal with that.
I think everybody's going through some issues, whether they're working at home or not, just because of the new parameters the government have put in about not being able to go out. The shops aren't open, so everybody's lives have dramatically changed. People say, don't they, that January is the worst month, and you take a dip in January. I had Blue Monday last Monday. And the importance really for employers is just to check in and to be aware of these issues. It's about talking to the employees and checking in, are you okay today, but being genuine about it. So really asking a question and listening to the answer, picking up on cues from people when you're seeing them virtually in meetings. One of the biggest and first cues is if people are attending meetings, maybe not turning their camera on. Because they don't feel like getting dressed, or they don't feel like they want to see people, and that should be sort of a trigger or a warning that you need to take some more intervention. We've developed an hours long wellbeing course,
right,
which we're trying to sort of bill as a workout for your mind, really. So you go to the gym for an hour, you feel better. Well, you know, maybe if you spend an hour thinking about your own wellbeing, you could feel better. Yeah. We've had quite a good uptake on it, more than we thought we would. And it's quite a good check-in for employers to use with their teams, just to invest an hour's time in them, really, for them to think about themselves and how they can look after themselves and feel better and be better.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I love that, because I think the last time we spoke on air, Pam, I was talking about this again from an employer's point of view. You know, most small and even medium-sized employers don't have HR people. We don't have people on board all the time. You know, most of us are just owner managers of businesses, and we don't have the skill to intervene in some of these things. You know, we can look at a member of staff and go, do you know what, they're not happy, are they? They're not, you know, they're struggling with this. But then what on earth do I do about it?
And you don't want to, sometimes it's either through embarrassment or through not wanting to put your foot in your mouth, isn't it? Just stay away and don't say anything. We do have trained mental health first aiders. So we run a course that does that. It's a more intense course. It's 4 mornings remotely at the moment.
Right.
But that's sometimes quite a good thing for small and medium businesses to have. So they've got one person who they know as the business owner, they can go to and ask questions of. And equally, the team members can go to be signposted to some support services if they think they need it. It takes the onus off the business owner to be the one that everyone goes to all the time.
Yep.
I mean, the other thing I think that's important is that I totally get it. I mean, I'm running a small, I've not got a big business, and I've got staff I've got to look after as well. But, I'm probably more acutely aware than others. But I've got a legal obligation to do that, because even when people are working at home, you've got a duty of care to look after them, but also, you know, their physical safety, but also their mental safety. And that's important to keep that in mind, because I think that's something that could come in the future.
Yeah.
I think we could start seeing potential claims coming through from people for disability discrimination if they've developed mental ill health that falls within the definitions under the Equality Act, or personal injury claims, because they've been working at home, they've become isolated, they've maybe been subjected to some bullying via online management, and developed conditions that mean that they've then got a disability or worse in terms of, you know, being able to bring a claim. So I think it's something that employers, you know, whilst I think it's important to look after your staff, I think you've got to be aware you're actually legally obliged to.
Yeah.
And actually, what you want to do is we are living in a very litigious society. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And we're seeing much more, you know, people challenging things, especially, you know, after, you know, the recent waves of redundancies and furlough. But, you know, just keep in mind that actually, yes, you should do it, because you want to make sure you've got staff that are healthy and can come back to work and work in the office when the right time comes. But also, you need to work in the meantime, potentially, if they're not furloughed. But also, try and avoid exposure to claims later on, or somebody going off on long-term absence, because that's another challenge for a small business to deal with. So there's a number of reasons why we should be doing it. There's simple solutions like the well-being one. It doesn't cost much money. You can get information on our website, you book it online. We've got clients that have sent out the link to their staff and said, here you go. You know, that's great. Whilst you're ticking a box as an employer, you actually show you care, because you're actually going to pay for staff to go onto something. And they actually, you know, may come off of it. You might be able to find out that they're actually really well and might come off and talk to you about it. The biggest challenge is talking to people remotely.
Yeah, sure.
I think some people find it really hard.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. It's a fascinating insight into that, and I think it's an incredibly useful thing to know about, to know that those resources are available, because as a business owner, it is incredibly difficult to keep up with all of this. As you say, you've got the government on one hand saying, don't do this, and you've got to look at all the rules around, can I open, can I close, you know, can I sell anything, can I not? You've got all the supply chain that you're trying to manage, and then you've sent staff to work from home, and you've got to work the technology out to do that. Then you've got to worry about their well-being. So, you know, as business owners, we're under a lot of pressure to try and cope with a lot
Definitely.
Of things all at
and
once.
The other thing that we're beginning to see as well, Paul, is we're beginning to see a lot of queries coming in about holidays, because obviously people have been delaying their holidays. Because they're hoping that we would have got a lockdown. And some people, you know, some businesses do a calendar year holiday, others go to the end of March. And of course, the challenge is, if you've already stacked up a load of holidays and you carry it forward, you're just going to get more holiday congestion next year. And obviously, post, let's say, the end of, into April onwards, hopefully, you know, businesses can start getting up and running more fully again. What you don't want is all your staff going off on holidays.
Exactly.
So that's another challenge. And we're beginning to see employees, you know, beginning to say, well, actually, you know, there's new rules that came in saying that I can have carry forward for 2 years. Well, there were new rules that came in last year, and it does mean that if it's not reasonably practicable to take your holidays, then you can carry them forward. But that depends on whether it's reasonably practicable, and it's a narrow range of people that would apply to. So it's looking at key workers that maybe couldn't take leave because they're obviously working, you know, flat out, or they're covering for staff. But it does cover other situations, you know, where it's not key workers. But, you know, I'm seeing employees trying to use that to say, well, I had to cancel my cruise this year and I've rescheduled it next year and I want to take those holidays then.
Yeah.
So I think as an employer, again, you've got to be careful about what you're doing. You want to manage the situation. You don't really want to lose the person.
Yeah.
So again, it's having a dialogue, but also fundamentally understanding what you should be doing or not doing, and having the confidence to have that conversation, which I think is quite hard work. So again, we try to produce Q&As, answering the frequently, you know, asked questions that we get through clients, and so that we can help the businesses. And you can get that again on the website or contact us and we'll send them out to you.
Yeah,
and it's a long time to go, isn't it? If you're working from home, it's a long time, January to, let's say, the end of lockdown, optimistically in April. That's actually a long time to go without a break.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just because you can't go to Spain or wherever you want to go, you still need that break for your own well-being.
Yeah.
I've booked mine, Paul, just in case you're wondering. I've got a couple of days in February, very much looking forward to not working.
Good. You know, all of what you said is absolutely nailed on. And you know, with all the will in the world, it can be quite demanding for small business owners to keep up under normal circumstances with employment legislation and all the rules and regulations about how you manage your staffing. In the circumstances that we've had for the last 10 or 11 months, that's gone out of the window to a large extent, because it's a moving target, isn't it? So I think now more than ever, we need help. Now more than ever, we need an organisation like LOC that we can work in partnership with, that can help just, you know, give us some advice even, you know. And I guess you guys are learning as you go along as well, because...
Oh, completely.
Yeah, yeah, you know, things happen. I mean, you've got much greater insight into it, obviously. But even so, you know, there are regulations about how you make people redundant. Well,
yeah,
you know, that all kind of changed during lockdown because you couldn't have face-to-face meetings. You couldn't do this and you couldn't do that. And, you know, telling someone you're making them redundant in a meeting on Zoom isn't a nice thing to do.
Yeah, it's not a nice thing to do at all, but we have done a lot of that.
Yeah.
And the difference with doing that type of meeting, to be honest, is normally if you're in the office, you know, they might be able to bring an employee into the meeting to accompany them. We wouldn't allow a relative or unless it was particular special circumstances, but you're in somebody's home doing those meetings and you can hardly bar their husband or wife from sitting in their own living room.
Yeah.
So it does make the situation very interesting, and it completely changes the dynamic of those conversations.
Mm, absolutely. It's been fantastic talking to you. Thank you so much for joining with us this afternoon and for sharing your insights into what's going on. I think people will be very interested in finding out some of the resources that you have on your website and finding out more. So in order for them to do that, give us a shout out for your website.
It's www.lockassociatesgroup.co.uk.
Fantastic. And of course, there's a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website, and there will always be a link to that. So if you want to explore any of the things we've talked to Sally and Pam about, have a look at their website, look at the resources they have available. If you have any questions, give them a call because they can help you, and we all need help right at the moment. Sally, Pam, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure to see you. Stay safe, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
You too, Paul.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being, and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
That was a fascinating interview with Pam Locke and Sally Beddoe of Locke Associates Group. I was having a rant about technology during that, and I have to tell you that was the second attempt at that interview, because the first attempt we just started talking and I had a power cut. So all this remote working does have its drawbacks. I've had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson. And she says, that was another interesting conversation with Pam and Sally around challenges, new ways of working and working from home, and the challenges they bring with lines between working practices becoming blurred and unredundancy too. It must be so difficult for small businesses to keep up with the proper processes around HR. Absolutely. You know, I mean, we were talking in the interview about HMRC looking at businesses that they think may not have followed the rules properly, but for goodness sake, I mean, they made the rules up as they went along, so trying to follow them is almost impossible. You know, we went from furlough to partial furlough, back to furlough, partial furlough, unfurloughed, redundancy, unredundancy. You know, the rules are all over the shop. So it's been very, very challenging, to say the least, and I don't expect it to get better too soon either. I've had a tweet from the lovely Adrian Kearney, AK Pet Services. He says, good afternoon, everyone. And then he's tweeted about his AK Pet Services pet-to-vet transport services, which they also offer 24/7 emergencies. So he runs like a pet ambulance service. Take your pet to the vets, and you can... you can contact them by calling 07772 589 511. That's 07772 589 511, or follow them on the Twitter, AK Pet Services, and that's Adrian Kearney, based in Midway. And I know he covers a large part of Kent as far as pet transport services are concerned, so check him out. He's just sent me a photograph of him and his new pet transporter. Looks good, Adrian. Liking it. Nice one, mate. It's now time to catch up with the Federation of Small Business News.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
How to stay compliant with workplace pensions. As an employer, it's your responsibility to ensure a compliant workplace pension is in place for all eligible employees. Even if you only employ one person, you're still responsible for making sure that they have a pension scheme set up and you carry out your legal duties. Failure to do so can result in fines, so it pays to stay up to date. So you can be proactive about pensions with our top tips for compliance. So if you want to find out if you comply and some top tips on complying, if you go to fsb.org.uk/resources page, how to stay compliant. So that's fsb.org.uk/resources page, how to stay compliant. You can also explore the FSB Legal Hub. The Legal Hub enables you to browse over 1,100 documents, fact sheets and templates covering a host of categories, all available 24/7. It covers HR, debt recovery, health and safety, cyber security and so much more. There's also a wealth of helpful resources and documents relating to COVID-19. To access the hub, simply log into fsb.org.uk and you can click through from the dashboard. So that's fsb.org.uk and click through to the Legal Hub from the opening dashboard. There's a series of webinars. I'm going to give you lots of resources now, and then at the end of it, I'll give you the link where you can go through to find all of them and to book, find out more and book your place on any that you wish. The UK has left the EU. The UK Transition and Business Webinar is taking place this Thursday, the 28th of January, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. So that's the EU-UK Transition and Business Webinar. There's also Creating a Self-Managing Company on Wednesday, the 3rd of February. That's taking place between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. There's the Women in Business Brunch on Tuesday, the 9th of February, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Join us for virtual networking hosted by FSB North Kent area host Sue Hainsby of Carlene Lettings. Promote your business and meet fellow entrepreneurs in online breakout rooms. What else have we got? There's the FSB Kent Membership Matters on Wednesday, the 24th of February, 11 a.m. Find out what FSB Kent are doing locally and understand about the benefits of FSB membership to ensure you're getting all the help you can, as well as networking with other small businesses. There's a webinar, The 7 Secrets of Increasing Profitability, taking place tomorrow, mañana, Wednesday the 27th of January, 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. The FSB has partnered with UK Business Mentoring to bring you this engaging, thought-provoking, action-based webinar to help businesses maximise their profits. That's tomorrow, 10:30, The 7 Secrets to Increasing Profitability. Also tomorrow, Wednesday the 27th at 4 p.m, Maidstone Virtual Networking. Join Peter Searle for relaxed networking with like-minded business owners. And everyone is welcome. That's normally hosted at the Metro Bank in Maidstone, and I think they're still hosting it, although it's virtual. So that's tomorrow, Wednesday the 27th of January, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. There's another Kent Women in Business Brunch on this Thursday, the 28th of January, 9:30 to 10:30. Join us for virtual networking hosted by FSB Folkestone area host Wendy Flanagan of The Holistic Home. Promote your business and meet fellow entrepreneurs in breakout rooms. Now, all of those things I've just told you about, all of those events, webinars and resources, can all be found in one place. You can go there, find out more about them and book your tickets by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, and you can find out about all of those. We've also got some other resources. You're not alone. Just talking to Pam and Sally earlier on there about mental health and well-being in the workplace. Well, the FSB have a free guide that you can download, and they also have a care hub that you can check out. So you're not alone. Looking after our mental health and well-being is important. You can download the free guide and visit the FSB care hub by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB-care. So to download your free mental health guide, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB-care, and you can click on the link there to download your free guide or to take you through to the FSB care hub. There's also another webinar, Creating a Self-Managing Company, taking place on Wednesday the 3rd of February, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Again, you can book it at kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. And we've got, nope, we've done that. I had another one here. Where's that gone? Right, bear with me 1 second. I had another. There it is. Towards the end of 2020, an FSB policy study of more than 4,000 small businesses found that 62% of them were subject to late or frozen payments due to COVID-19. And they're speculating that the numbers may be even higher now. So I guess if you think about it, because a lot of us are furloughed or working from home, it's been quite difficult to make bill payments, especially if you send the the invoices in the post rather than electronically, which a lot of people still do, to be honest. They're probably sat in a pile on someone's mat. I also suspect, without being too cynical, that there are some organisations that are using it to try and manage their cash flow better and just saying, oh, sorry, I haven't got round to doing that yet. But as small businesses, this can create a domino effect if we're not careful. If you don't pay me, I don't pay the next person, they don't pay the next person. We really do need to try to unlock this and make our payments in the most effective way we can. Otherwise, we cause everybody to crash. So do have a think about that. If you're sitting on payments and there's any way you can pay them, then please do pay them. And it, certainly if you're a bigger organisation, and it has, I have to be honest, it's normally the bigger organisations that are the worst at this, at sitting on payments and not paying them. Just pay people, huh? Now more than ever, we need the small amount of money that we are earning to be paid. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of business failures, and there's already too many business failures. And we don't need any more caused by poor cash flow management on behalf of big organisations. So that's the FSB news for this week. I've got some other emails to read. There's still tweets coming in, so do keep tweeting. Always happy to see your tweets. I'm just catching up to make sure. MPSL were talking about Athelbrey and their charitable donations of laptops and old computer equipment to schools for use for homeschooling. Absolutely. Samantha Kelly, the tweeting goddess, has said she's listening in. And I told you about Sam's events coming up. Do give Sam a follow on the Twitter. Tweeting goddess is a Twitter handle. Just making sure I haven't missed anything. I don't think I have. It keeps telling me that I've got loads here, but I can't find them. Anyway, cool. I've got some other stuff to tell you about. You can book now for the Marsh Network Online. The next meeting of Marsh Network Online is at 10:30 a.m. on the 3rd of February. It's a Zoom meeting. Bookings are going well. Make sure of your place. Anyone attending the meeting for the first time can come free, so bring a contact with you or mention the meeting to your network. This will help to grow our network even faster. To arrange, just drop me an email, terry@botfield.net. Botfield, B-O-T-F-I-E-L-D, terry@botfield.net. Join organisations from across Kent and East Sussex for relaxed professional networking. Grow your business and your network. So that's the next Marsh Network meeting, 10:30 a.m, February the 3rd. And you can book it by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Marsh. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Marsh to find that event and all other events that Terry runs in the next few months can all be found there and can all be booked there. Okay, With over 12 years' experience specialising in all things PA and administration, Gemma Oliver is here to help you effectively manage your time and get things done. By trusting Gemma with your work life, she promises that you'll feel less stressed and have more time to focus on running your business and meeting key objectives. Here's a small sample of what Gemma specialises in: PA and admin support, complete diary and email management, inbox overhaul and cleanup, high-level minute-taking, LinkedIn and Twitter account management. And if you want to find more information, you can visit her website, which is www.yourvpa.co.uk. And she says, remember, she's here for you. So that's her website again, is www.yourvpa.co.uk. Do check that out. And you can also find Gemma on Twitter at... I think her Twitter handle is Gemma, your VPA, if I remember correctly. I've mentioned this a couple of times, but I want to mention it again because I think this is important and it's going to be more important as things unfold and the world of work changes rapidly. January is a time for career reflection. If you know of any smart, driven, mid-career professionals seeking career inspiration, please do let them know about my weekly Portfolio Careers workshop. I'll give you the link in a moment. Portfolio Careers are effectively finding multiple ways to monetize your skills, knowledge and passion, as opposed to having just one job. Our 60-minute free workshop helps people understand what Portfolio Careers are, why they are booming and what it takes to succeed. Since lockdown began, we've helped hundreds of professionals launch successful portfolio careers. In 2021, we want to make that thousands. And that's from Ben Legg. And you can find Ben's website for the portfolio workshop by going to www.portfolio-collective.com/portfolio-career-workshop. So that's portfolio-collective.com/portfolio-career-workshop. Check it out. That's going to be really, really interesting, I do believe. My phone's pinging. What have we got? Pink Spaghetti PA Services, Thanet and Canterbury have said hi on the Twitter. Hello, Vicky. Thanks for joining us. Good to hear from you. The Construction Southeast Awards 2021. How would you like to have award-winning next to the name of your business? We want to recognise the achievements, developments and innovations around construction in the Southeast. The application process is quick and easy and it is free to enter. So if you have a construction business based in the southeast of England, you can enter the Construction Southeast Awards 2021. To do that, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk /business events, there's actually a tab on the homepage of the website at the top that says business events. So if you just go to the website and click business events, you can find the Construction Southeast Awards there. You can also find a link to the other business awards there, plus some other events that are being run by Best Business Events. So check it out, kentbusinessradio.co.uk, and click on the business events tab and all will be revealed. The University of Kent have launched a Recovery Innovation Fund, and the Recovery Innovation Fund can provide your small or medium-sized business, including third sector organisations, charities, not-for-profit, social enterprises, with up to £7,500 to engage with Kent's expertise, with the opportunity to foster a long-term partnership. You'll get tailored advice and support from one of our academic experts relevant to your business needs. So basically, you can apply for this, and depending on your field of endeavour, they will appoint one of their academic specialists in that field to act as a mentor and sounding board and help. I think this is an absolutely brilliant idea. I think it's a really, really clever idea. It brings together academic research and expertise with people working in the field. I've done, over the years, I've done quite a few projects with the University of Kent Business School, and I have to say they have so much good data and so many resources that are really useful. So it's really worth going doing this. If you want to find out more about the Kent University Recovery Innovation Fund, if you go to www.kent.ac.uk/enterprise, so that's www.kent.ac.uk/enterprise, you can find out all about the Recovery Innovation Fund. Okay. This is set to be a unique and groundbreaking world-class destination. The London Resort, one of the most ambitious projects in Europe, has submitted its planning application to the government. If successful in securing development consent, construction on the London Resort will begin in 2022, with a plan to open in 2024. The London Resort's detailed planning application confirms the scale and ambition of the team behind the world-class, sustainable, next-generation entertainment resort. The plans are to develop two theme park gates, a water park, a conference and convention centre, and an e-sports facility. More than 3,500 hotel rooms will also be created. In addition, two ferry terminals, one each side of the River Thames, will be built, along with back-of-house facilities, a visitor centre, and a brand-new road from the A2. The vast majority of the materials required to construct the resort will be delivered by river. Wow. The London Resort will be a world-leading resort and theme park destination, and as such will mark a step change in leisure and entertainment provision in the UK. London Resort will be one of the world's largest immersive experience centres in the world. The first theme park gate will open in 2024 and the second within 5 years by 2029. The London Resort's themed lands, there'll be six themed lands. The studios, a modern day warehouse district inspired by blockbuster movies. The woods, this is an enchanting realm influenced by fables and fairy tales. The kingdom, that's all about swords, sorcery, dragons and Arthurian legend. The Isles, which are giant creatures, mythical beasts, and jaw-dropping architecture. The Jungle, ancient ruins of a long-lost Mesoamerican civilization. And the Starport, a sci-fi 23rd century landing zone. So that's a fantastically big project. There's a lot of work to be done on it, but the plans have been submitted. Let's see what happens next. I'd like to urge you to listen to the Business Diaries podcast. The Business Diaries podcast, business storytelling that uncovers the stories about the personal journeys of business owners, often funny, sometimes sad, intriguing, but always entertaining. You can find all of the Business Diaries podcasts by going to thebusinessdiaries.podbean.com, and do remember to follow them, because then you'll get updated automatically when a new podcast is uploaded, so you don't have to keep going back and checking. You can find them all as soon as they're uploaded, because they'll let you know. So that's thebusinessdiaries.podbean.com. do check that out. Okay. Golding Homes, do you know of any organisation who have been supporting people during lockdown? Please tag them. We want to continue to help communities affected by COVID-19, and we're providing funding from our community chest to support this. So you can find out about it by either following them on Twitter at Golding Homes, G-O-L-D-I-N-G, Golding Homes, or go to their website, www.goldinghomes.org.uk. Golding Homes are the social housing provider in Mid Kent, and they are offering help for organisations that provide support during the pandemic. I want to finish off with a request, and it's a request to financially help the Sound of Spitfire to continue delivering amazing shows via internet radio. officially launched the Sound of Spitfire on the 2nd of April 2018. We ceased broadcasting on 31st of January 2019 to make changes. After a stage return, we changed format and in June 2019, and we are now currently broadcasting 7 a.m. to midnight, and we'll continue to do so. Our range of programs will aim to entertain and inform. So they've got a fundraiser going. I'm going to have to gabble my way through this because we're running out of time. If you go to www.gofundme.com/Sound of Spitfire internet radio service, or you can follow them on Twitter at Sound of Spitfire to help support them. But we've reached the end of another show. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We'll be back next week with another Business Bunker show and a great lineup of guests. In the meantime, stay safe, everybody. Keep well, and we'll see you all next week.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.